were so everywhere. Let him come. Who's so everywhere. Let him come.
Hi there, this is Andy. Thanks for joining us today. Listen, before the Bible study starts, can I just remind you to sign up for our weekly recap email at calvaryottawa.ca? It really is the single best way to know what's going on here and to stay up to date with us. All right, well, it's time to open up your Bible and get your heart ready to receive. May the Lord bless you in your study of His Word. Acts chapter 19, verse 1, we read, "While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions and came to Ephesus. He found some disciples and asked them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' 'No,' they told him, 'we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' 'Into what then were you baptized?' he asked them. 'Into John's baptism,' they replied. Paul said, 'John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people that they should believe in the one who would come after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in other tongues and to prophesy. Now there were about 12 men in all." All right. We've seen this theme throughout the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and receiving the Holy Spirit, stretching back all the way to Acts chapter 1 in Jesus, Acts chapter 2 in Peter's message, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 11, and now here we are in Acts chapter 19, and we're still talking about the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Years ago, it's more than 20 years ago now. Long time ago. I was about 20 years old, and I was riding, I rode my 1981 Kawasaki GPZ 1100 with fuel injection. First of the super bikes, I had one. And I rode that from where I lived up in Clearwater down to a church in St. Petersburg. I think it was on a Wednesday night, might have been a Sunday night. And it was, I wanted to go down and visit this church because it was a church that we had visited as kids, when I was a kid, several times. My dad had grown up going to that church. And I just felt like going down there that particular night just to see what was going on. I had a couple friends that went to that church. And it was an independent, fundamental Baptist church. They don't have many of those up here in Canada. It is, just to be clear, it is nothing like the Baptist church here. Nothing, not even close. Anyway, so that night I was part of their youth group, went into the youth group, and at some point in the evening, one of the young men stood up and asked a question, and he said, "I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. I know I'm going to heaven. What else is there? Like, is that it? I just read my Bible the rest of my life, and I go to church, and then just, that's it? Isn't there anything else?" And it got as quiet in that room as it got quiet here. And the volunteer youth leader was not prepared for that question at all. That guy's question never got answered that night that I know of. He had never heard of the Holy Spirit and the life of the Holy Spirit and the relationship that a human being can have with the Holy Spirit that makes life worth living, gives meaning to life. Have you received the Holy Spirit when you believe? Very distinct question, very unique question. And quite frankly, it's not a question that we ask or we talk about normally inside of Christendom. We don't talk about that. There's lots of discussion about whether these men were saved, whether they were Christians, And that's why they had not received the Holy Spirit. Because if you are a Christian, you automatically receive the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in Ephesians, this is where this is, Ephesus. He wrote later to the church in Ephesians. He wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. He says, in him, in Christ, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. When? When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. Paul says you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe. So people are like, well, how could they have not received the Holy Spirit when they believed? Because it seems like it's automatic. So why would Paul say, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? Because it's automatic. You receive the Holy Spirit when you believe. Fascinating, eh? It's puzzling. So there's a lot of discussion. Well, they were Christians or they were not Christians, and here's why, and here's, you know, and all these reasons and this kind of stuff. It's interesting because when you read it, let's go back and read it again, verse 1. Go back and read verse 1. It says, he found some disciples and asked them. And you just got to go, well, how did they become disciples? It's very puzzling. Then they make this amazing statement, because he says, well, have you received the Holy Spirit? We said, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. Fascinating. Keep your finger in Acts. Go with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. I want you to see this. Paul writing in Corinthians, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be, what's that word there, church? What does it say? Ignorant. My translation says unaware. That word only appears twice in the New Testament. It appears here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, around the topic of spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit. The other place that it shows up is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, around the second coming of Jesus Christ. And in both of those, Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this fact or of this truth or of this reality. I don't want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be uninformed of this glorious thing, which is what? Well, one of them is spiritual gifts and the other one is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, what are the two topics that you don't hear much about in most churches? The Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Why is that? Well, because if you teach, if you preach, if you distribute, if you talk about the Holy Spirit, you lose control of people. That's actually a good thing, by the way. That's, you know, controlling people is not a good thing, but it's a good thing. The other thing is about in the return of Jesus Christ, when we long for the return of Jesus Christ, it does something to us and to our churches and to us as Christians. It gives us hope. It has a purifying influence. These are all the good things about it, but not a lot of people are talking about that. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be unaware of these things. And then he goes on and he says, you know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And then he goes and explains, there are different gifts, but the same Holy Spirit. He says, don't get distracted by the gifts. Focus on the Holy Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces, look at this, each gift in, look at this, church, each person. Verse 4, there are different gifts, gifts are good, same Spirit, different ministries, ministry is good, that's serving, that's action, same Lord, different activities, same God. What is he describing? He's describing power. He's describing ability. He's describing activity, the life of a Christian. He says it all comes from the same Spirit. And he says there are different activities. Same God produces each gift in each person. Every Christian is to have the experience of the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. Noticeable. He says, a manifestation of the Spirit, a manifestation, verse 7, of the Spirit is given to each person for themselves so that they can get all blowed up and see how spiritual that they are and how much more of a Christian than anybody else is. Is that what it says, church? No. It says for the common good. These are not for the person that receives them. They're always meant to be shared with somebody else. Always. And then he gives a description. He says, to one is given the message of wisdom by the Spirit. Fascinating that this is, when he starts talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the first one on his mind is not tongues. The first one on his mind is not prophecy. The first one on his mind is not faith or miracles. The first one on his mind is wisdom. Isn't that interesting? If you and I were to make a list, I don't know that that would be on the list, much less at the top of the list. But isn't that what we need? The gift of wisdom, the gift of the word of wisdom. Then he goes on, he says, to another message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Then we get to the fun ones. Gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles. Give it to me, Jesus. To another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of tongues. There it is. To another interpretation of tongues. Look at this. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, and look at this, distributing to each person as he wills. The Holy Spirit's in charge of all this. The question is, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Has this been a part of your life? That's basically what Paul is saying. Now, you should know, Jesus described the ministry of the Holy Spirit to humans in three different ways. You can leave 1 Corinthians. We'll come back a little bit later. John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus is talking, and he says, nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I'm going away, because if I don't go away, the counselor or the advocate will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. What's the counselor, the advocate? In the Greek, that is describing the courts worked different back then. In those days, you gave your own defense. You didn't hire a lawyer to talk for you. You talked for yourself. You would hire an advocate or a counselor, and that person would whisper into your ear what to say to the judge or to the court. And so you wanted to have an excellent counselor to whisper into your ear so you could say what needed to be said in this court case. You gave your own defense. And he says, I'm going to send that kind of person in your life, the counselor, to be with you. What will he do? When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then he goes on to talk about that. Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit has been given to humanity, all of humanity, all across the world, everywhere and in every place, in this relationship of coming alongside people and whispering in their ear, this is the right way to go. That's the wrong way to go. This is what's going to happen if you keep doing that. You know what's going to happen. It's the truth, and we need to hear it. And he's convicting us of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Every human being on the planet has this relationship with the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, two chapters before that. John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Oh yeah, we know about that. He's the one that comes alongside. He goes on, verse 17. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought he was going to come and convict the world of sin and whisper into the ear. Yes. Keep reading. But you do know him. Why? Because he remains with you. And then look at this. And will be in you. That's the distinction with the Christian. The Christian has this relationship with the Holy Spirit where the Holy Spirit has come on the inside of us, inside of our bodies, inside of our hearts. That's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. And he's never going to leave. Some of us know that because we've been Barstool prophets, drunk out of our minds, witnessing to the person next to us. I know I'm not doing what's right. I know I got to live for Jesus, and you should too. You know, it's, well, the Holy Spirit never left. Still there. You've left, but the Holy Spirit hasn't left. He will be in you. That's glorious. Transforming us from the inside out. That's the unique thing about a Christian, is the Holy Spirit comes on the inside. But then Jesus talked about a third relationship with the Holy Spirit, and that is in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, while he was with them, Jesus was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, you have heard me speak about. Here it is, verse 5. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. In the same way that when we're baptized in water and we're inundated with the water's everywhere, it's all over our bodies. He says that's the same way that you're going to experience the Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptized in the love of God, the truth of God, the peace of God, the experience of God. He goes on, verse 8, could they ask some questions? He says, but you will receive power, the ability to do things. When the Holy Spirit has come, where does it say? What does it say? On you. So we have the Holy Spirit beside. We have the Holy Spirit in for the Christian. And then Jesus is describing the Holy Spirit coming upon a person with power, the ability to do things, good things, right things, holy things. He says the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The power for witnessing is from the Holy Spirit. And it's this third relationship. It's this third experience of the Holy Spirit coming upon a person. That's what he's describing. He's saying, well, listen, we've never even heard about the Holy Spirit. Paul writes 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I don't want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be ignorant of these things, of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What a shame to live your whole Christian life and not have the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the ability, the power to do right, to do good, to do holy, to do witness for Christ. I don't want you to be ignorant of these things. The sequence is always the same. It's repentance, water baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter is preaching. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the sequence. Let's go back to Acts chapter 19. Back to Acts chapter 19. They said, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And then Paul says, well, what were you baptized in? Obviously, there is some repentance going on in your life. Your life looks completely different than all the people around you. It's obvious that you are disciples. It's obvious that you are disciplining your life after someone other than the rest of the world around you. You've repented. That's obvious. What have you been baptized into? Who have you been baptized into? Listen, let's be clear. The Muslims are calling for people to repent and to become disciples of Muhammad. But there's no Holy Spirit. Chapters is full of books that is calling you to repent of chocolate-covered almonds and to live a thin, skinny life. But there's no power in the book. I see the road. I got no gas, man. I can't get there. Listen, it's everywhere around us, the call to repent and to be patterned after someone or something else. But where's the power to do it? Do you understand? Now listen, we have Christians inside of churches that don't live a repented life. It seems that, you know, they just want to keep kind of going whatever it was they're going and just kind of tack on Jesus and fire insurance to it and we're good. But not really. So, I mean, but this isn't a message about, these are guys that have repented. These are guys that are saying, listen, we understand that life is not supposed to be lived the way that everybody's living it around us, and we want to live a discipled life. We're trying to live for God. And Paul says, listen, it's obvious that you're disciples. It's obvious that you want to live right. It's obvious that you want to do good. But have you received the Holy Spirit? How could he see that? That's a good question, isn't it? How could he just see, hey, have you guys received the Holy Spirit? How could he see that? Are you interested in that question? Like, how could he notice that? I'll show you something. I love this. I really enjoy this. All right. I'm all over in my notes here, but okay, let's go here. Let's go here. Ephesians chapter 5, right? So this is to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he says, pay careful attention then to how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise. Making the most of the time because the days are evil. And you're like, yeah. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I want that. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living. Here's the alternative. But be filled by the Holy Spirit. The Christian doesn't need alcohol. The Christian needs the Holy Spirit. Christians are supposed to run on the Holy Spirit. And then look at what it says next. He says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. What's going on there? Well, maybe he could tell when he ran across these disciples, hey, there's no singing going on here. There's no melody in the heart. There's no joy in their group. There's no gratefulness. Thankfulness. That spirit's not in the group. It's sincere. It's hard. It's harsh in the sense that, man, we're going to do this. We're going to live for Jesus. We're going to do this. Are you with us? Oh, you're not? You're out. You know, sorry, that was loud. You're out, you know. Get out of here because we're serious about living for Jesus. You know, there's no joy. There's no gratefulness. You guys hear every Sunday when I get up to speak and I begin to pray. What's the first thing I say? Lord, thank you. That's a great discipline to be in. What? Grateful to be a Christian. Grateful. Best thing that ever happened to me, coming to Christian. Right? I could have all kinds of problems. The house could be burning down. I'm grateful to be a Christian. You know? Gratefulness, thankfulness. Maybe in their thing there was no mutual submission. Verse 21, submitting to one another out of the fear of Christ. Maybe that wasn't a mark of their, there's 12 of them and they're all like fighting for power. Critical, judgmental, harsh, hard. And Paul goes, hey, have you guys received the Holy Spirit when you believed? Because you might have missed something. Maybe that's how he could tell. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. Sorry, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is, come on, church, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and then, hallelujah, self-control. Yeah. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. May I submit to you that the evidence of the Holy Spirit in someone's life is very, very, very easy to see. Their life, their heart overflows with love, with joy, with peace, with gratefulness, thankfulness, not a critical spirit, not a judgmental spirit, not a hard and a harsh spirit, but joy, peace, faithfulness, consistency. Amen? Can you do that humanly? No. There is no counterfeit for the Holy Spirit. None. In the recovery community, they have a phrase to describe this condition. They call it white knuckle recovery. What does that mean? I'm not drinking today, man. I'm not drinking today. But oh my goodness, I'm hanging on. White knuckled, right? They also call it dry drunk. You got all the same problems that you had while you were drinking. The only difference is that you're not drinking. And so what does that make? It makes you more angry, more bitter, more resentful, more. It's nothing to like, you know, medicate it at all. Listen, we have Christians that are like that. Maybe you're married to one. Right now they're going, oh Lord, may it go through, may it go through. You know, you got to stop talking. You got to stop thinking about the person next to you. You got to think about yourself. You say, Lord, is this me? Have I been living the Christian life in the power of the flesh? And I've been unaware. There's no condemnation here. Just unaware of the Holy Spirit. Paul didn't come across and go, what's wrong with you guys? Critical. No. He was like, hey, I think you might have missed something. I think this will really help you. I think it'll really bless you. The Holy Spirit. Now they said, you know, what baptism were you baptized into? He says, John's baptism. This connects us back to Apollos in Acts chapter 18. He only knew of John's baptism, which was a baptism of repentance. Hey, we're repenting. We're no longer living according to the world. We want to live for Jesus Christ. We want to live for God. And Apollos was in that same place. He's calling people to repentance, but missing the payoff, which is the work and the life and the joy of the Holy Spirit. And so, that's that connection. John preaching to repentance, you can't live that way. But then the Holy Spirit, what's the whole point of repenting? The whole point of repenting is to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? So that's our connection back there. So he says, how have you received the Holy Spirit? Then it says they were baptized into Jesus. And all the commentators said that they went out and got water baptized into Jesus, and they talk about all the water that's around in that area. They got water baptized. And then it says, Paul laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So all the guys that say, well, they weren't Christians. Paul shares Jesus with them. They get saved and baptized. And that's when they got the Holy Spirit. And they missed that whole phrase there, what it says, and Paul laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. What's going on there? It's a separate event. It was a subsequent event, which is why the scripture says Paul laid his hands on them after the baptism. And they received the Holy Spirit. You say, well, maybe Luke just got mixed up in his phrasing, whatever. No. Acts chapter 8. This is Peter and John in Samaria. Acts chapter 8, verse 15. Here's what it says. After they went down there, they prayed for them so that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit, because he had not yet come down on any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. What's going on in the book of Acts? Well, definitely Luke is saying there's a separate experience here. But he's also, this is what Luke is also showing. He's also showing that Christianity's high point was not the 12 original disciples. Because the story continues, and now you have the Apostle Paul, who was an enemy of Christ. Now he's the one that is doing all the same things that the disciples were doing, who were doing all the same things that Jesus was doing, and here he is way away from Jerusalem, out in Ephesus, in the middle of nowhere, so to speak, spiritually speaking, and he's laying his hands on 12 brand new guys. And it's like a rebirth of Christianity. What's the point he's making? He's saying this thing renews in every generation. The old days were not the best days. Actually, the best days are yet to come. And the same Holy Spirit that was poured out on Pentecost, that was poured out in Samaria, that was poured out on Cornelius, that was poured out in Ephesus on these 12 guys, listen very closely, is here today to be poured out for the Christian to give them power. It's a separate event. Lots of people have read My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. The story behind that book, that devotional book, is Oswald Chambers coming to know Christ. Life as a Christian. Wanted to give his life completely to the Lord. Enrolled in Bible college. Took all their classes and then became a teacher at the Bible college. Preaching for Jesus. Calling people to repentance, but ended up in a very similar place as the young man I told you about in St. Pete, Florida, in that church. And he said, is this it? Is this all there is? Years after committing his life to Christ, years after taking all the classes at the Bible college and teaching in the Bible college, years later, had an experience with the Holy Spirit by himself in his room. Next day, teaching at the Bible college, same material, completely different response, exponentially different response. The only reason we're reading Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest is because the Holy Spirit met Oswald Chambers in his room alone and baptized him in the Holy Spirit. Separate experience. Dwight L. Moody. Dude could barely read, had trouble spelling, not that swift. In Chicago, gave his life to Jesus Christ, became a pastor, pastored a church in Chicago. Very active pastor. Very active. Puts everybody else to shame. He would average about 30 seconds for his home visits, checking to see if they had firewood and coal or whatever and enough food for the winter, and then boom, he was on to the next one. He would visit like 100 people a night, just like this. Very active, very effective in Chicago. In the Great Chicago Fire, church building burned down. His life's work was in ashes. Up to that point, he had two little old ladies that would come and sit in the front row. They loved to hear him preach. And they would say, we love hearing you preach. We're praying that you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. The Bible says I received the Holy Spirit when I got saved. I got all the Holy Spirit I'm going to get when I got saved. And they just said, we're praying for you that you would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God bless you, Brother Moody, Pastor Moody, you know. Well, his church burned down. He was depressed. He was discouraged. I mean, it's all gone. He was on a trip to New York because he was depressed, getting away, walking the streets of New York, and all he could think about was those two little old ladies going, we're praying for you that you would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he was like, is this all there is to life? Is this all there is to life? Is this all there is to life? And you're on the streets. Lord, if that's you, if that's from you, I want to receive all that you have for me. And he said his heart began to change. His body began to tingle. And he says he found the closest room he could find where he could be alone. And in that room alone, he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody went on to become an international evangelist, both in Chicago, all over the United States of America, and into England. Very, very, very powerful preacher. Why? Same message. What's the difference? The power of the Holy Spirit. R.A. Torrey is another one. But then the guy standing in front of you. Same with me. Grew up in church. Committed my life to Christ, 6, 7 years old. Got water baptized. Was a Christian. Every way, was a Christian. going to church, living life as a Christian. It wasn't until I was 16 years old, I was in a little bitty small group, and this particular couple that hosted the small group, they loved the Holy Spirit, and they loved to see people receive the Holy Spirit. And so they would, night after night, after week after week after week, I would watch different people get put in a little chair in the middle of the room, and they would all, 8 or 10 of them, they'd gather around, they'd lay hands on that person, they'd pray that God would fill them with the Holy Spirit. And so I did it. And nothing happened. 4 days later, I was driving my car listening to an Integrity Hosanna cassette. That tells you how long ago it was. Listening to that praise and worship music from Don Moen or somebody like that, you know. Listening to Integrity Hosanna, singing along. And while I was driving, there was another presence in the car. And it was the presence of God's grace and God's love and his power. And I got baptized by the Holy Spirit driving my car, listening to Integrity Hosanna. And I came out of that with the gift of tongues. And I still speak in tongues. Last Saturday, when we had the night of worship, I was speaking in tongues. Doing it biblically, doing it the way the Bible says. But there is a dynamic and a power available to the Christian with the Holy Spirit. Here's the question of the text. The question of the text is not, were these guys saved? That's not the question of the text. The question of the text is, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? That's the question of the text. Because there is definitely a Holy Spirit. Amen? One last thing. Is the proof that somebody has received the Holy Spirit the gift of tongues? Let's look at it just quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want you to see this. 13, sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I want you to see this. You need to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at what it says, verse 1. If I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Might as well be doing jazz. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, what does it say, church? I'm nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. What's the central ingredient? It's love. What's at the bottom of all those gifts of the Spirit? It's love. Let's keep reading. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. Man, some of my colleagues as pastors, man, we need to read that. Is not irritable. Does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they'll come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the perfect is not the scriptures, by the way. The perfect is Jesus. We're not cessationists. It's Jesus. Look, if you take this position that the gifts of the Spirit died with the apostles, you're ignoring Acts chapter 19, where the Holy Spirit was poured out on these 12 men in Ephesus, and they received the gift of tongues. You're off. Beyond that, you haven't met a missionary. Like a real missionary. You haven't met a missionary. Beyond that, your Bible exegesis is just off, because he's talking about heaven. He's talking about when Jesus comes back. That's what he's talking about. Beyond that, there's all this real estate about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, which was a waste of time to write, translate, copy, and distribute, and William Tyndale gave his life for those pages for nothing. It's a very arrogant statement. When the perfect comes, that's Jesus, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully. When is that? When Jesus returns, as I'm fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. What does it say? The greatest of these is love. Chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you prophesy, that you preach the word. Here's the bottom line. What's the evidence that somebody has received the Holy Spirit? Is it tongues? What is it, church? It's love. Their life overflows with love.
Come to the Father, come through the Son, come by His Spirit, find freedom, let Him come.
Hey there, thanks for listening. Listen, if this was an encouragement or a blessing to you, would you let me know? Would you send me an email, andy@calvaryottawa.ca? I'd really love to hear from you. That's andy@calvaryottawa.ca. Well, may the Lord Jesus bless you, keep you, make His face shine upon you, and give you peace. We'll see you soon.
Come through the sun, come by Spirit, fire, oh, come to the fire.